What has four legs in the morning, two at noon, and three in the evening? Maybe you've already heard this riddle and you find it not very exciting, but it's not a very good riddle. But regardless, you might also know where I'm headed if you know the answer to the riddle. Have you figured it out yet? The answer is a human. When the beginning of our life, we crawl on four legs. When we become adults, we have two legs. When we get older, we have a cane giving us three legs. Yeah, I know, not very exciting, but it makes my point. Today we're going to talk about humanity, the joy of being human. And the reason for that is, so often in our modern world, we see humanity as either outside of its context, so we don't know what we are, or as negative or bad. It's almost like being human is a bad thing. As we start out with, we have to start out with definitions. What does it mean to be human? So often today, we define human in animalistic terms. I'm an animal, or I'm a creature, or I'm an ape. We use that language to talk about who we are. But what that does is it reduces us to our physical selves, our bodies. And so we focus only on our bodies as things with desires and interests, things that keep us alive, because the more you eat, you keep living. That's how it works. But in that sense, it reduces us so far from what we could be. If we're simply creatures with desires and run around doing whatever we feel like, doesn't that reduce us to almost nothing? What about our minds? What about the beauty of our intellect? What about the capabilities of humanity? All of that's not part of it. We simply see ourselves as animals with desires and no other interests. So in that way, we have to go further. There's other definitions, not just that one. The next definition we hear commonly is we are an animal endowed with reason. A little bit better. Now we have something worth doing. We have reason, the capability of our minds. Our minds are a beautiful and wonderful thing. They make us human in many ways. The ability to ponder things, to think through things, to wonder about nature, to put things together, to build, to create. All that comes from our mind. And from our minds, we get the chance to explore each other, to learn about relationships, to explore the world around us. All this is the power of our mind. With reason alone, we can unravel the mysteries of the universe. We can see laws in action. This is the joy of our minds. But that's not complete either. If we're true about our nature as Christians, we know there's one part that's missing, and that is our souls. We are not just a body running around with our desires. We're not just this mind, like the Buddhists want us to think, that we lose the sense of ourselves and negate the world in its bad, evil sense, and then move into this realm of just thought, being, not sure what that is. But nevertheless, instead, we see ourselves as a composite of these three things, body, mind, and soul. These three elements make us truly human. If you recall from the book of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't just create an animal. He breathed into his creatures. He gave a part of himself into us. And by doing so, our souls, that part of us that's God, gives us a direct link to him. It means that when we pray, our souls pray through us to God. When we realize what our souls look like, what they are, they're a direct bridge between this life and the life to come. They are what animates us, gives us a special character. This is the nature of our soul. But we have a challenge. These three come together. How do we make it work so we care for our body, mind, and soul? I think we know what it looks like to care for our bodies. That's pretty obvious. That's pretty much everything you read today. In some level, when we care about our bodies, we think about what food we eat. You know, some food makes us feel good, some doesn't. Our goal is to eat the food that makes us feel good. You stop eating food, you die. That's kind of how it works. In the same way, we keep ourselves clean. Why? Because we feel better when we're clean. That's the way it works. So we know what it looks like to care for our bodies. We nourish it, we keep it alive, we keep it clean, because then it provides for us and keeps us living. What about our minds? Have you ever thought about caring for your mind? What would you do? Well, that's kind of simple too. If you read or study or you engage in conversations, you start to wonder about the things of the world. You start to put things together. You use it for creative purposes. All these things cultivate our minds. They help us grow that faculty of reason, the ability to see the things of the world. And by doing so, add to the character of what it means to be human. The very nature of using our minds gives us a greater sense of who we are. We're not just wandering around doing our things. We can unravel the mysteries of the universe. The real challenge comes with our souls. Have you ever thought about caring for your soul? What does that look like? Well, the nice thing about being human is we're not three compartmentalized ideas. It's not like body and it does its thing, mind and it does its thing, and soul and it does its thing. They're all interconnected. So we can use a lot of the analogies for body and mind into how to care for our soul, because it's so intimately connected with who we are. So when it comes to the body and we nourish it with food, we also nourish our souls with food. That can be as simple as listening to the Word of God, meditating on it, letting it percolate in our mind and souls as we wonder about the mystery of God. Or the Mass, which starts with that, so we have the chance to listen to God's Word. But then, in connection with the body, we feast on God. We eat His body and blood, the food and drink which sustains our souls. The same way, prayer, pondering God, coming to understand these things are what gives joy to our soul. Pope Francis, when he was speaking to the youth at the vigil of World Youth Day, made a point. It's a point we also need to hear. His was more about the heart, but it works in the same analogy. He says joy comes from the heart. And it's not just for us. It's not as though we feel the joy and like, yay, I got joy. When it comes from the heart, it flows out of us and brings joy to the world. This is the call of the Christian, to experience that joy at the depth of our soul and let it emanate from us into the world. That's a character of the soul. What's also part of our soul is faith, hope, and charity. These are works of the soul themselves. So we can see when our souls are being nourished and strengthened and encouraged because these things flourish. Joy, hope, faith, charity, but also trust. We also lose anxieties because we have a sense of God's presence in our lives, so we're less concerned about the things of the world. Let me put it this way. If you were to go 7 days without food, what would happen? The first 2 days would probably be very miserable, as you're dealing with the hunger and the pains to go with it. But eventually, around day 3 or 4, we just lose the sense of hunger. So we just wander through lethargic and tired and run down because we don't have any nourishment. But you would notice. We'd all notice very quickly we're not eating any food. What about if we stop nourishing our minds? We just stop studying. The best example I can come up with is the movie WALL-E, where they literally sat and stared at screens doing nothing for the entirety of their existence. What did that do? It made them dull and boring and dumb. Same thing happens with us. If we stop nourishing our minds, there is a reaction to that. We don't become very interesting. We don't get to ponder the things of the world. We become dull. What would happen with our souls? What if we stopped nourishing our souls? Would any of us realize it? That's an interesting challenge. If we'd stop going to Mass for 3 months, what would happen? Well, we'd stop caring. That would be the biggest response. We just wouldn't care anymore. The things of God would not matter. We lose that sense of our connection with God. And it's so subtle and slow, it can be gone without us knowing it. So that's one of the big challenges with the soul. Like, the body's easy, you die. The mind's also easy, you just kind of stop caring. But the soul seems to ebb away without us realizing it. Our greatest challenge, to build up our soul in such a way where we nourish and strengthen it so we can continue that relationship with God, build it stronger each and every day through prayer, meditation, attendance of Mass, and allowing God into our lives. Here's the challenge. I made it sound about us. All about us. All I need to do is nourish my soul, strengthen my soul, I'll be good. That's not what St. Paul says today, nor Jesus' point. Jesus has a mission, and St. Paul teaches us about it. His mission is to save souls, not necessarily about our individual souls, but we're part of this mission, this greater plan to go out and help people attain salvation, to guide them into relationship with God. Today's gospel is a great example of this. So you meet this woman, this Canaanite, not an Israeli. She doesn't know how these things work. She's heard of God as a healer. So she comes up to Jesus with a request. Save my daughter. Reasonable request. Who wouldn't want that? But look at how the language changes throughout the gospel. We start with her coming up to him saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me or have pity on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon. And Jesus ignores her, which is off-putting to us. Why would he ignore her? So the disciples have this little dialogue about sending her away, and he doesn't. Then he makes a point. I have come only for the lost tribes of Israel. He's making a point of his mission. What do the women see in him? A miracle worker. This guy could heal my daughter. Isn't this great? He can do all these great things like mumbo-jumbo magic. Ha ha, your hemorrhages are gone. Ah, you're risen from the dead. Look at all these great things. That's not Jesus. That's not his point. His point is to help people come to salvation. He needs to teach them about the mystery of God and who he is. And it only works with the Israelites who have heard the tradition, who have been through the prophecies, who have seen all this unfold. That's why he goes to lost tribes. The woman continues. Her language changes. Have mercy on me, Lord. She now sees him very differently. He is now something more than a miracle worker. And she goes even further. Is it not true that the rest of the world benefits from the graces that come through the Israelites? Why not me? Why can't I be like everyone else? Because now I see what you can do. You are God, and you're going to bring salvation to me. Remember this from the other healing miracles. Jesus doesn't just heal someone and be like, great, good, go on your way. We'll kind of part ways here. He wants to bring them salvation. And so he doesn't just heal their spiritual ill or their body ill. He heals the whole person, body, soul, and spirit, mind. All of it's healed through Jesus. Same thing works with this woman. Once he sees the level of her faith, that she believes that he can do this, then he does it. This is the joy of bringing salvation to the world. We are part of this grand mission. It's not just about cultivating our souls, making them better, but seeing people in that way too. When we go out into the world, if our souls have been cultivated in such a way where we can see God active in our lives, what does that mean about how we see others? Then we see their souls as valuable, their lives as valuable, those people as part of this grand mission of God. These people as part of that mission to save the world, to bring them to salvation. That would radically reshift the way we think of each person we encounter. So let us be inspired, my brothers and sisters. Let us first of all recognize what we need to be fully human, to satisfy the needs of our bodies, minds, and souls, to cultivate them in such a way where we recognize the graces that God has brought to us. But then spread those. Let those things emanate from us as we transform the world around us and bring people to salvation.